Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Let's begin our service by singing some hymns having to do with fruit. And this, what our friend we have in Jesus, it's found in there, 533. Now this next hymn, 220, Blessed Jesus, at thy word, we are gathered all to hear thee. That's what we've come to hear him, not the preachers. So let's sing 220.
Now to seek and love and find.
this matter of fruit-bearing praying has to do with evangelism, the prayer that he says we can pray. And this hymn 371, Christ for the World We Sing, I'm going to ask our brother Bob if he'll play the tune of 89, same number of stanzas with the tune, Come Thou Almighty King. So let's you and I sing 371 and let brother Bob play the tune, Come Thou Almighty King. I'd like you to turn, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and I'd like us to stand and read together verses 12 through 17 of this 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we'll try to get the context of this last part of verse 16. That I said we would look at tonight, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Let's start to read collectively verse 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have meant, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's have prayer. Our Father, we are grateful for the privilege it is ours to come and to study your precious word. Now we know, Lord, that unless the Spirit of God takes the word of God, it'll be just somewhat of a ritual. And that we've just gathered and we're here tonight, and like we've done so many times. But we desire that there may be a hunger and a thirst on each of our parts, and that we be open to the working of the Spirit of God to teach us. Our Father, there are so many things that we do not really know. And so we pray that we might have an open heart. Our hearts should be receptive. We pray that you would give liberty and fullness to me as I give the word in this study. We pray that we might see the urgency of it and the desire for fruit, and that we might do what we can to bear fruit. And so tonight, may our Lord Jesus receive honor and glory and yourself, and may the Spirit of God anoint us, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. This we pray for in the name of Christ and for His glory. Amen. Please be seated. Now, this chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, I told you that 13th chapter through the 17th is farewell, the night that he was betrayed. And he's talking a lot about a lot of things. I think that one that we ought to spend some time is that he said, greater things you do than I that when I leave. Now, you see, he's God, and God can do all kinds of things, no question about that. But I believe what he was saying is his outreach at that time was only, what, 30, 40 miles in giving forth the blessed truth? And now look at us. Well, we can give the blessed truth throughout the whole world. And people are coming to know and have come to know the Lord. And just let me say this as an aside. If you haven't seen our website for a while, you ought to look at it. It's been changed, and I think it's real good. And I think it's also good to listen to some of the words, some of the messages that are there. And if you find one that you think that Aunt Sue ought to hear, you can hit it on the right-hand side, and it'll come up, and you can send that message, that church service, that gospel singing, that preaching to Aunt Sue. That's easy, by way of email. And you can listen to it, and you can also make a copy if you know how to do that. And so here we are tonight looking at this last part of verse 16. And you say, well, that is really some message. And you say, oh, wow. Anything I just ask, the Lord's going to give to me. If I ask to my Father in His name, He's going to give it to me. No, 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 hold on. You got to understand that contextually. What's He talking about? Well, He's telling us that in the first part of this chapter 15 would make it very clear what He's talking about. He's using an illustration of the matter of a vineyard. And he's saying that verse 1, he said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or pruneth it, that it may bring forth fruit. We're talking about fruit bearing. There he is. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, and abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Not just fruit, but much fruit. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he withereth, and men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I read that because we got to get it in its context. And I think it's a beautiful metaphor, or parable, whatever you want to call it. And you can see a grapevine, can't you? You've seen grapevines. That's not hard to see. You can see that in this grapevine there's a lot of leaves. And then you can see fruit. And you can see a grapevine that's been pruned. Now, if you don't do it the right way, they'll bleed. But the Lord knows when to prune us. You say, hey, there's plenty of grapes. Don't prune. There's plenty of grapes. He said, I prune because I want much fruit. I don't want itty bitty little things. I want much fruit. I want good fruit. And so there's a matter of pruning. It has to do with Christians. You say, well, I don't understand that business of if it's no good, not doing things, cast off, put in the fire. Well, did you ever hear of a man like Judas? And there are other people that they walk with the Lord for a while and no longer walk with him. Do you believe in perseverance of the saints, preacher? Yes, sir, I do. And you ought to also. But it is true that there are those who are in the big circle of the so-called church, but they don't stay around and they fall away and they go by the way of the world. And so you can understand that too. Now he is saying here in essence, I want you to go. I'm going to leave. And they're probably saying, what in the world are we going to do? If he leaves, how are we ever going to make out we 11 disciples? I mean, we've been taken care of when he was here. And we've had, sustenance and all that goes along. But he's going to leave us. Now what are we going to do? What are we going to work at? My God shall supply all you need according to his riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:20. Wow. Well, now listen. Now just remember this. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Oh, man, we can't afford this. Listen, if you understand that he wants fruit, and he wants us to be a mission, he wants us to evangelize. He said, this is what I want. I think the fruit here is souls, salvation of souls. And you know, God isn't poor. Everything is his. So I sometimes think that we get, well, you know, we can't as men. No, no. We get the idea that we are gods, I think, sometime, and we think we know more than God does about things. But this is a powerful chapter. And he said, I want you to go. And he said, I want the gospel to be given, people to be saved, and I'll tell you how to do it. Well, Lord, I'm interested in telling you how to do it. Tell me real quick so I don't forget. He said, verse 16, last part. And that's a great verse. He had not chosen me, but I have chosen you. There you are. That's a particular redemption. He said, and I've appointed you. And I ordained you, appointed you, that you should go and you bring forth fruit. I want you to go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. I want lasting fruit. None of this sort of phony stuff. Man-made. Man ideas. Man concocted. Like you would in a business. See, we're going to run this like we do a business. You better get that out of your head. You better stay with the Word of God. That's our map, the Word of God. You know, that's strange. Psalm 119 says all about the Word of God. And he says, abiding in the Lord has to do in my Word. You may have some good thoughts, but it has to concord with the Word of God. Abide in me and abide in my Word. And if you won't abide in the Word of God and you say, I don't have to read it, do I have to study it? I don't know too much, I'm a dummy. No, you're not a dummy. It's just you're lazy if you don't apply yourself because I can do what I want to. You can do this or do that, go there, go here, there, but all this other stuff, it ain't too pretty, it isn't too necessary. He said, I want you to bear fruit. I expect that. He's not just speaking to preachers. I want each of you to bear fruit. I want much fruit. I'll be gone. I won't be there physically with you. But I'll take care of you. You'll do a good job. And down through the years, there's been the gospel preached. Many, 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 many people come to know the blessed Lord. And I still think he's in the business of saving souls. I tell you, friends, if there's one thing that just tears my heart up, and my family knows this, is that we don't see more people come to know Christ. Now, I know William Carey went to India. He served all these years, and nobody got saved. I understand that. You say, well, I don't know either. But I'm just wondering if we really are desires to bear fruit. The fruit that's spoken of in 15th chapter of John. Oh, we want to come to church. We want to hear good preaching. We want to have good Bible study and, have some kind of a holy huddle and some high fives on some things. But I believe he wants fruit. Now, I don't know when he's going to do this. I was encouraged for a person that said, what would you do if you had a whole gang of folk come? The Northumberland Baptist Church, last Sunday, every seat was filled. Wow, that's a pretty big church. Yeah, a church closed down. And it came to Northumberland Baptist. That would fill a place, wouldn't it? The church shut down. I'll tell you one thing. We need to be praying. And there's some things to solve if the place would get packed. There's some things to do. So don't be afraid to pray that the Lord would have some fruit. Now, we should expect that the Lord would give us fruit. It may take years. I'm not discouraged, but I wish that there would be more people come to know the Lord. I mean, we can pray for, as I say, Aunt Sue. We can pray for so-and-so. We can pray for so-and-so. But do you really pray for the salvation of lost people and name them? No, I think we should pray for one another. And if financially you have needs, I keep saying be spiritually nosy. People have needs. I have needs. You have needs. We need to pray for one. But this chapter is talking about fruit. And I believe it has to do with the matter of salvation of souls. I think contextually, that's why I read most of the chapter. And if it's going to take years before Uncle Pete comes to know the Lord, we're just going to keep praying for Uncle Pete. Just do it. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, it's not me, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And so it's Christ's doing as he lives in us. You know, I don't know much about this, but I do know what it is. We need to be transmitters. Verse 16, last part, transmitters, 24/7. There's no shutdown with the transmitters. God says, pray without ceasing. What does it mean to be a transmitter? I can pray anytime, any place. I'm in Christ. I can pray anytime. The Lord doesn't go to bed. And I can say, Lord, help. Do I have to have big, long, wonderful prayers? I tell you something. Bring long, wonderful prayers. You better watch out about them. It's the short prayers, many of them that are very effective. Now, if God lays it upon you, all right, you stay there as long. That business, sweet hour prayer, that's fine. But you'll find in life, basically, that there's this short prayer. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. And that's prayer. When you say, I really do need the Lord. And so this transmitting our prayers in verse 16, the last part, with lost souls in mind. And it also has fruit of the Spirit. I understand that. And I'm not going to minimize that. I do think that to be effective witnesses, there has to be, as it says in Galatians chapter 5, and I think that's marvelous, and I don't want to set that aside. I think primarily it's talking about the lost souls. And that is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. In verse 22, there's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He said, I'd like to see that. Because I tell you, because of the old nature, we've got some rough corners in our lives. I mean, you go to a wedding and, boy, they're a beautiful couple. Man, a beautiful couple. I got news for you. They're sinners. And they're going to have their problems. Oh, come on. No, let's be real. I think of Ecclesiastes that we looked at not too long ago. You say, well, that book, Ecclesiastes, yeah, but you better face some things. You're going to pray for fruit, yes? Well, then you need to understand a few other things, that like here we are, this matter of life here on this earth. A lot of people, they just got taken up with it. You know, I was waiting for my wife at Walmart. I like to watch people. I look at their faces. Boy, some of us old guys, we really look bad, I'm telling you. But I think it's down in their hearts. I think after a while, our faces get like we are, really. You say, well, don't make fun of old age. You're an old age man yourself. I know that. But I want to tell you something. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, you had better believe this, that the words of the preacher that is Solomon, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem, what did he say? He said, well, vanity of vanities. I heard that 1,000 times, preacher. Yeah, but vanity of vanities, listen to it, saith the preacher. All is vanity. Well, so what profit hath a man of all of his labor, which he taketh under the sun? you lose your retirement and all those things. Well, it's terrible. Stock market. You know, one generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. I think you better stay with the Creator. Let's go to the second chapter while we're here. Ecclesiastes. Look at verse 16 and 17 of the second chapter of Ecclesiastes. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of life. He said, I've done all the things. Been there, done that. And he said, I'll tell you. And that verse 17, he said, truth of the matter is, he said, it's just vexation, and it's just grievous is all it is. Well, David, or Solomon, you got praise. You said you were the wisest man. You should have clapped hands for him. He said, that goes to applause. That's soon forgotten. Oh, if I could just, you may raise there. You have your 10, 15 minutes of lauding, and it's gone. You say, no. Listen, I keep reading that suicides are at an all-time high. I keep reading that there's more need for counseling, that because of people just having a hard time, need counselors. And I just think that addictions, they're there too. Well, then look at verse 17. It seems to mean anything to you. What does it mean? Therefore I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, and for all his vanity and vexation. Oh, let's go up the 16th verse. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than the fool forever, seeing that which is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? Just like the fool. I tell you, friends, chapter 15 says, I would want you to go, and I want you to give the gospel, and when the gospel given, the Spirit of God will save sinners, and you have the means to really be a real soul winner, and it is that you ask it in my name, as it says that there's fruit-bearing praying in the last part of that 16th verse of chapter 15. You know, I just wish that we could get excited about some things. Well, I tell you, if you read the Psalm, Ecclesiastes, you won't get very excited. If you go to Daniel, there's a verse that I've used years and years, and I go to it from time to time, but it encourages my heart. Maybe it'll encourage you. Mm-hmm. In Daniel, the chapter 11 of Daniel, and verse 32, maybe it'll encourage your heart. It has mine. And it says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But that last part. But the people that do know their God. In Daniel 11:32. People that do know their God. People that do know their God. You say, I know the Lord. That's fine. It says, they shall be strong and do exploits. I tell you, They that know the Lord, they'll be strong, and they'll do exploits. There's just so many things we can do, even if we're nobodies, for the matter of producing fruit with knowing the Lord Jesus, having His Spirit, and He says, and I'm going to tell you how you can get there. There's the means of getting there is in that 16th verse in the last part. He said, I want you to be fruit bearers. Let's look at that verse 16. You know, you didn't choose the Lord. You said, well, I took Jesus as my Savior. Yeah, I know. I know you can get that if you're not careful after a while, but you know, it's like I heard Ray Comfort say on a DVD. He said, I had nothing to do with it. He said, God saved me, and He put in my heart a desire to confess my sin and to put my confidence in Jesus Christ. He said, it was all of God. I thought, man, that's good. It was all of God. It wasn't any of me. It was all of God. God gave me the faith and gave me repentance. It was all of Him. I had to call upon Him. Yes. This 16th verse of chapter 15. You've not chosen me. No. But I've chosen you. He's talking to the disciples. Well, what value were they? They were, listen. Fishermen. No professionals. He didn't pick any professionals. We like big shots. He didn't pull any big shots. But He pulled men that knew and loved Him and followed Him. Oh, they had all kinds of problems. But did they love the Lord? He said, in the rabbis, when they had a good rabbi and he could really talk and he could talk scripture and he had personality and charisma, the people would say, hey, that rabbi, did you hear him? He said, yeah, he's really good. Let's go here. And he'll get a followers. And they'll say, hey, we'd like to, if it's all right, may we follow you? The Lord Jesus said, you did not choose to follow me. I chose you. I'm the one that chose you. And he said, I not only chose you, but I ordained you. That word means I appointed you. Well, what did He save you for? Oh, that I might go to heaven. Yes, sirree. That's good. But He has a task, and that is you're to bear fruit, and I'm to bear fruit. Not just that you're comfortable and here in this life, and you're saved, and that's all necessary. No. He has appointed us to go. Look at that verse. That is a terrific verse. He said, I've appointed you, ordained you, that you should go. And you should bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, last. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Some people said, not me. Well, I can't do anything. Well, I'm sorry. You know, when a little baby comes, one of the first things it does is cry. I'm looking at verse 6 in the last part. He cries. She cries. And that's a beautiful thing to hear a baby cry when it come forth. And if you've been reborn, you're going to cry. You're going to say, Lord God, help me. I've been a mess. I've been a sinner. I've violated the Word of God. I'm not so smart. I'm not so wonderful. I'm really a sinner. And you've saved me, Lord. And you'll cry out to Him and you'll pray. You don't have to say, now I guess I'll have to go to prayer meeting tonight. Maybe I'll make it. Maybe I won't. Listen, if you have been born again, praying is so natural to you. It's like breathing. I need to pray. I want to pray. I have needs. I want to be a blessing. I want my family to come to know the Lord Jesus. I want my neighborhood to know Christ. I'm concerned. Not just me. Molly and me and the baby makes three. That's selfish. The Bible says in Romans 12 that we need to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I think sometimes we need to renew our minds about some things. We get some ideas. I was saying to a person that knows a lot about older people. You know, some of us have been taught that whatever the government says that you do, and it has to be done right away. Our government is right, and that has to be done. Yes, sir. But listen, if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, who comes first? God. Now, I didn't say you shouldn't listen to the government. I didn't say that. We're to be good citizens. I believe that. But I think you can get so tied up. And as that one friend said, if you get so on the sucking on the teat so much that you won't pay attention to the Word of God, you got to be careful of that. But in this Romans 12, there is this that you and I need to talk to the Lord about it. He said, I'm begging of you, verse 1. I'm begging by the Spirit of God. I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies, to be a living sacrifice. And how? A holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's fine. That sounds good. But you know what? It says, in order to do that, you must not be not conformed to this world. A nonconformist. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I've talked to people who say they're Christians, and you say, the Word of God says this, and they say, well, so it does. It isn't really that important. I believe it's to be this way. That's the way I'm going to do it. That's the way I was taught. No. It says we need to do this. We need to realize that God wants us lock, stock, and barrel, spirit, soul, and body, and we're to be a living sacrifice, not some old dead beat down there, but and to live a holy life. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, and to be acceptable unto God. That is reasonable. You say, no, that's wild. Well, who said? What did God say about it? He said, it's reasonable. I cannot be that kind of a Christian. Well, maybe if you do verse 2, you might be able to. Get away from all your worldly thinking and thinking that the world has everything sorted. Read Ecclesiastes if you haven't gotten out of that yet. And it said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's something that needs to be done, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is just wonderful. And you can't decree things. Over the years, I've noticed people would say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, or I command you and tell the Lord, decree to the Lord, Lord, you've got to do this. Well, now, wait a minute. Look at verse 16, the last part. It says about fruit, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, asking the Father, Father, how? In the name of that, whose name? In the name of Jesus, he may give it you. Well, what does it mean to give it in the name of the Jesus? That is, in his stead. If you know this book enough, that when you come to a problem, you say, I wonder what the Lord would have me to do in this. And you say, well, the scriptures, the Spirit of God, and take the Word of God and bear witness to your spirit and say, the Word of God does teach that. And I feel it more and more that I really ought to pray that. And he said, that's fine. That's just what you do. And so I'm going to talk to the Father, and I talk to the Father, and I'm going to say, in Jesus' name. Well, what's that mean? That's what you put at the end of your prayers. Don't you know that? Excuse me? Well, you put that on the end of your prayers, in Jesus' name. Well, what does it mean? Is it an abracadabra? No, it's not abracadabra. It is instead of Jesus. In Jesus' place, this is what you said, Lord, and you draw it upon my conscience, my heart, and my heart's burning. The person's in my mind. I can't keep him out of my mind. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray, Lord, that you would save them. I want them to be saved. There needs to be some prayer. Not just, well, I got an ache and pain, that's all right. Or I got a problem, that's all right. But we got to go beyond that. We got to pray for lost souls. Because that's what the chapter 15 is all about, fruit bearing. And I say, it is saying, thy will be done. Some people say that's a cop-out. That's no cop-out. As best as I understand, it's permissible. I feel that that's what we ought to do. Let's go pray about it. But we got to pray. The bottom line is, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I feel that it concords with the Word of God, your Word, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. It's up to Him. It's His will to be done. He may not do it right away. If you expect every prayer to snap of your finger, then you don't understand. There is a need for praying maybe for years. And the Lord's not hard hearing. He has a purpose. You know, if somebody gets saved, somebody who's bound to say, hey, praise the Lord, so-and-so got saved. And I just think it's so wonderful. I'm so excited about so-and-so got saved. And you look at it and say, oh, really? Why is he so excited? Why is she so excited about this person that got saved? I'll tell you why. That person prayed for that person. And when the Lord, the Spirit of God saved them, they're all excited. That just goes to show that that person could be saved, may write me next to you. You've not prayed for them, and you don't get, you're not that excited about it. Well, that's good. That's fine. And the person next to you jumping all up and down. There's a difference. God knows whether we want to bear fruit. And he wants lasting fruit. Verse 16, that your fruit should remain. None of this popcorn stuff. So we're taken in with a lot of, I say, fraudulent. A lot of ideas. And it doesn't last. We want fruit that lasts. That's what we want. You want to pray that this would be a lasting thing, not just something, a flash in the pan. A little religious emotions. A little excitement. And then it's all over. And return back to just, you know, come to church, sit down, listen to the Word of God, and that's all it is. No, I think you need to see that this is an important chapter. You know, when it really comes down to it, that God has His time and His plan, but He said, I want you to pray for fruit. I don't want just fruit, I want a lot of fruit. I want lasting fruit. And I'm going to tell you how you can get it. You pray to the Father in my name, and I'm going to give it to you. If it concords with the Word of God, and you say, I just feel I should do that. What do you do? Well, I've done a lot of things.
You have?
Okay. Like what? Well, I've done some farming.
Really?
Okay. How did it go? It's hard. Well, tell me more about it. Well, I had a good crop. Hey, now that's what we want to hear. You mean you plowed it and you fertilized it and you sowed it and so forth and God gave the increase and God gave you a good crop. That's what a farmer should do. Now, I'm a Christian. He said, I want you to bear fruit. What do Christians do? According to this passage, they love one another. And not only that, they keep His commandments. And he said, not only this, but he said, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. And he said, I'm asking you to do this. I'm not going to treat you as a servant anymore. I'm going to treat you as a friend. And there's a place for that. But with the coming of the Spirit of God, we're friends. And he said, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to, by my Spirit, I'm going to speak to you about some things. And I'm going to tell you what about the things of the Father that Father has told me. Now, I want to tell you, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And I've appointed you that you should go, and I want you to bring forth fruit. Yes, sir. And that fruit, I want a lasting fruit. Yes, sir. And whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it. And so these things I command you, that you love one another. A Christian, a Christ one, a follower of Christ. And he said, I want you to bring forth fruit. Now I will say this, and I know that it's
may sound a little harsh, but if I'm a preacher and God hasn't used me for the salvation of souls, it'd be just like saying, I'm a farmer, but I never get a harvest. Something's not right. You just say, well, okay, I have another job. If you never complete that job, then you don't give me your title. And so as a Christian, a Christ one, a follower of the Lord, and he wants us to bear fruit, he wants much fruit, and he says, I want lasting fruit. And he said, if you have a problem with this, the means is by prayer to my Father, and in my name, in my stead, in my place, and if according to my word, because abiding in the Lord means according to his abiding in his word, the living word, and he says, I'll do it. So surprises, yes, surprises. You know, I was thinking of a hymn. I'm not going to sing it, Bob. I'm just thinking of a hymn. You know, Brother Bob plays 316, but 319 is, I guess I have a little preference for 319 in the hymn book. Why? Well, I think it has more of a statement to us. It's nice to be, Lord, go with us and help us. We need that. But in hymn number 319, I think there's a real message there. So what are you saying in dismissal? Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. Well, fine. Fill us. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Amen. Let us each, thy love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us. Oh, refresh us. Traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give. Notice this, especially the second stanza. Notice the second stanza. Thanks we give in adoration for thy gospel's joyful sound. May the what? May the fruits of thy salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, to the truth may we be found. So that when thy love shall call us, Savior, from the world away, let no fear of death appall us. Glad thy summons to obey, may we ever reign with thee in endless day. But that second stanza, I tell you, when we're through with a church service, we ought to say, well, thank you, Lord. I give him adoration, but the gospel joyful sound, may the fruits of that salvation, that's the fruits of salvation in our hearts and lives abound, ever faithful, the truth that may be found. let's turn to the next page about the Lord's Day. Well, it says here, safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now a blessing seek, coming to church, waiting in his courts today. Day of all the week, the best. That is the Lord's Day, the emblem of eternal rest. Day of all, with the week the best, emblem of eternal rest. While we pray for pardoning grace through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciling face. Take away our sin and shame. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this day in thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this day in thee. I want to get to the last stanza, but before I do, here's the third one. Here we come, thy name to praise. Let us feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes while we are in thy house appear. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of everlasting feast. Here afford us, Lord, a taste of everlasting feast. Now watch this last stanza. May the gospel's joyful sound, conquer sinners. What? May the gospel's joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort the saints. May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief for all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. Thus may all of our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. They're great hymns, aren't they? Love them. Well, I hope that at least for a starter, you may see that the Lord is saying, I want fruit bearers. And fruit bearers, I want you to love one another and want you to obey me, and I want you to give the gospel. And he says, do it faithfully. But he says, I give you the means, and that is prayer. You go to prayer about these things instead of trying to think you can do it all on yourself. And he says, I may do it. I'll hold it there. I'm not through with John 15 yet.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.